Good day, everyone. Welcome back to the 23 Podcast. Wherever you are, whenever you are listening, thank you so much for being with us today. My name is Parker Kern, and I'm here alongside Father Jeff McBeth. Father, what is up?
Man, well, great. You know,
you're back from summer camp.
I know.
You got a nice glow to you.
I know. I did use sunscreen, but...
Good. Yeah. What's the SPF you use?
I used 55.
You 55?
On my face.
Oh, okay.
You know, so too much, too little?
No, I'm a 70 guy.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I bought stuff that was, of course, if you know me, this is not a surprise. I bought stuff that was on sale.
Yeah.
And I had a digital coupon for. And so the new stuff is 70.
Okay,
but I still have some 55 to use.
Oh, yeah. The high octane stuff you're saving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you get that at Costco too?
No, Kroger.
Oh, Kroger. Okay.
Yeah. No, I do most of my stuff at Kroger.
Two shop?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, my mom sometimes is like, well, talking about things on sale at Meijer, I'm like, I think I'm doing pretty good by shopping at one place.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to mess around with, you know, the M perks and,
yeah,
you know, going back and forth between stores. You know, I got to stick with one.
Yeah, you got to commit.
I just can't go back and forth.
Yeah. No, yeah. I agree. It's tough because, you know, you have so many and they all try to compete with each other. And especially like not necessarily for the grocery stores, but for, like, I remember a couple weeks ago, Prime Day, of course, was the middle of July. And you look at all the other retailers in that kind of sphere, the Targets, the Best Buys, like the ones that have, you know, tech products, lifestyle products, all that kind of thing. And they were all like one after the other in terms of, you know, when they were doing it. So like Prime Day was one day, and then like a couple days later was Target's big deal day. Mm-hmm. And then they had Best Buy, you know, Christmas in July. It was crazy. So, you know, I'm just... It's always funny to watch and look, and even products like, you know, sunscreen, allergy pills, you know, it's like, where can you get the best deal? But at some point you just have to align yourself with one. Yeah. Cause then you got so many cards in your wallet,
right,
and
apps on the phone.
Yeah.
All that kind
it's
of
like,
stuff.
Which one do I go to? And you know.
Yeah. I don't want to mess around. I just want to go to one place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
Kroger has more locations.
Oh
so.
Yeah. And I've been a Kroger guy since like college, and Their gas deal, like with the points, is incredible. I almost always fuel at Kroger.
Yeah, another unpaid promo spot.
I know. I know. We're doing a lot of those recently.
Dang. Camp was amazing as always. So, yeah, grateful for that.
Great.
Grateful for that.
So you had adoration outside the one day.
Yeah, they like to do that on Wednesdays. There's like a procession. And then do some Saint monologues. We didn't do it last year because of rain, so I was like really worried. Because Wednesday was supposed to be the worst day, but God provided it cleared up.
Yeah.
We got to do the procession. It was great. Mm-hmm. And the outdoor adoration.
We love that.
Beautiful. Yeah. So kids had a great time, and one parent actually texted Sarah and I just that evening saying, "I had no idea how transformational that was going to be."
That's
like,
wonderful.
Like that's why we. So I would like people to go.
Why we do this. Yeah. How many did you have again this year?
We probably had about 15, 16, something like that.
And how many total at the camp?
There's about 160 some.
Okay.
So
good number. So we were roughly about a tenth of
about a tenth.
That's great.
Yeah, I like
that's
that.
Great. And and parishes from all over the country, all over the region.
It's interesting. There, if you go to the main campus in Centerburg, you know, I've met kids from all over the country there.
No, it makes sense. It's in Centerburg.
Right. Yeah. So last year it was a little more regional, cool. But I mean there's a couple of kids from Florida.
Whoa,
it's crazy. Wow. Yeah, there's a kid from Chicago, but a lot of the people who come week seven tend to be like Lansing, South Bend, but also some from around our diocese. Mommy had a big group there.
Cool.
So yeah, it's still pretty regional.
Wonderful.
But yeah, that was awesome. You know, and The contract we signed for our advanced registration is like late September, so this is August already.
Yeah.
So stay tuned because we'll be promoting next year.
Maybe plugging
coming up and seeing who's interested. I'd love to get a some high school reserve spots. We might try that out for next year. But it's definitely potentially a life changing week. And so if you got kids, grandkids. Be thinking about that because you'll be hearing about it here coming up. So good stuff.
That's wonderful.
Good stuff.
It's amazing how quick the turnaround is. I remember like last year we had just started doing the podcast, and you were already talking about it, like right around now, like right. August, September, and
right.
I'm like, bro, this is next year. But
I know
that's what it is.
I know.
So it's so great. It's wonderful to see, you know, the impact it has on the young people. And you know, as I've said a couple times before, you know, those are formative years, yeah. formative times for people. So it's really great for them to be kindling sort of a closer relationship with the Lord yeah. at a time in their life where they could be doing probably a lot of other things.
Right.
And that's just a wonderful, wonderful way for him to reach out to them.
Yeah. We all need these encounter moments, mm-hmm. You know, really throughout, our life, which is why conferences and retreats and camps are important to go to, sometimes. So speaking of the men's invitational, coming up September 20th, 22nd, there's no golf, but it's all good.
Oh,
yeah.
That's okay.
It's a nice weekend away. Yeah. Guys from the parish.
Yeah. Where's that at?
It's up at the Disale Center.
Okay.
There in Brooklyn, Michigan. So I don't think we have it on the 23.church yet, but maybe you just want to, mark that out or, you know, mark your husband's calendar out.
You could pull LeBron James. Did you hear about that?
Mm-mm.
So obviously the Olympics are going on right now, and I'm a massive fan of LeBron, so I'll just put that out there. But I read a lot of news about him, and so he's playing on the men's USA Olympic basketball team representing our country, and they are a very, very solid group of talent. But it was funny because LeBron said the only way he went and did the Olympics this year was because he asked his wife first.
Oh,
so yeah. he's a good husband.
Even LeBron James, yeah.
Even LeBron James can ask to go to the Olympics, so you can ask to go to the men's retreat.
Well, the fun story from last year is I handed a card to the guy that, you know, had the dates and everything, and yeah. Right away his wife goes, "Oh, he's free." So yeah.
Got that family Google calendar set up or something.
No, I don't think she didn't even check. He's free. He'll go. It's great. It's great.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, and then, it's really this Sunday. I know sometimes people listen to this podcast on different days. If you've been attending the parish, or if you know someone who's new, we do have our connection point for new parishioners. So yeah, I guess if it's kind of weird if you've been listening to the podcast and haven't gone to connection point yet, but just in case you haven't, we can do that, and we'd love to see you there. You can register at 23.church so we know that you're coming. That'd be great.
That's great. And we have childcare available for that, right?
Typically, I don't know if we, based on who's currently registered, I don't know that we will.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure everybody knew that was available.
Right. It tends to be, which is why it's important sometimes to know who's coming.
Yeah, to register.
You know, so we know whether the plan for that or not, but I don't know if we'll need that this time.
All right.
So,
well, we shall see.
Yeah.
So, Father's taking a drink here, and then we're going to get into some scripture.
Get into it. Yeah. So, this is, as we talked about before, we're sort of hitting John 6 hard this month.
We're hitting it hard.
So, yeah. So if you remember last week, it was a multiplication of the fish and loaves. And so this is, you know, the rest of John chapter 6 is kind of a follow-up teaching, you know, about what really that means. And of course, it's all about, you know, the gift of Christ in the Eucharist. And so we get into it. All right, so this is John chapter 6, verses 24 to 35. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father, God, has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." So they said to him, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So they said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. Yes, yeah, so John chapter 6 is known as that bread of life discourse because of Jesus talking about himself as the bread of life. What I sort of love about this passage in part, you know, is that what he said, you're looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, you know, they were hungry, and so it was a legitimate need that they had. You know, and of course they just experienced this miraculous multiplication of the fish and loaves. But that whole do not work for food that perishes. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's a good maybe way of reflecting on like what is it that we're seeking after, you know, in our life. And there's a lot of great things, of course, in our life and a lot of blessings, but there's only one thing that really satisfies us deep down, mm-hmm. that longing that we have, and that's God. And in our relationship with God, you know, it's not our, you know, our accomplishments. It's not the promotion. It's not the scholarship. It's not the trophy. It's even though all these things are great, at the end of the day, they're never going to satisfy, you know, our deepest desires and longings. And so, that's part of this, you know, teaching here, you know, is that it's only Christ who can really satisfy and bring us life, which is important to remember. That's why we, you know, go to Mass every Sunday and things like that.
Yeah, and kind of like you said, it's not what we have here on Earth, but it's what we have with God, now, forever, always, right? Because after our time here is done, which, you know, could be anytime, I guess, you know, we will still be living with him, through him, in him, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not so much that like you said, the stuff here will just kind of go away, but what we have left is ourselves and our relationship with God. And we know that if we continue to know him and continue to push ourselves to deepen our relationship with him, he's always going to be there for us. He always, you know, has a hand out for us. Yeah. And he's always willing to metaphorically and literally, you know, hand us the bread of himself, as that happens every week at Mass. So again, with that is, you know, like the Metallica song, Nothing Else Matters. I mean, really, nothing else matters.
Right. Yeah, and you know, part of our scriptures today, too, is that God provides. You mm-hmm. know, so the people, they mentioned the manna, and that's in our first reading that we'll hear. It's about the manna, you know, in Exodus, you know, that God, he provides what we need. And sometimes we might question, like the people did with the manna, like, what is this? So we might not always understand what God provides, you know, but he's gonna provide what we need, because he does. And so, even with the Eucharist, sometimes it's just hard to understand, you know, how is this like actually the body, blood, soul, divinity of Jesus? What is this? You know, like the people ask of the manna, but it's God providing us with the very best, you know, that he has to offer.
I agree. And again, kind of to that point, right? Sometimes we pray or we ask God for things, and it might not be manifesting how we would have envisioned it. And I know that, you know, I think I called back to this a couple weeks ago, but Father Joe's homily a couple months ago, God's not Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. I loved that. Mm-hmm. I love that because it was so, he just kind of put it out there for us and let us stew on it. And sometimes, and how often do we think of God as Santa Claus and just, mm-hmm. I'll just send up a wish and then everything will happen and it'll be great and it'll be like Christmas morning. That's not it. God has a plan, but it's not our plan.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, our plan might be good. It might be a righteous plan. It might not be like, well, I hope this person dies or something. I mean, I hope no one ever thinks that about anybody.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes it's might not be that it's a bad thing, but it just might be that God has a different plan. and he wants to, he will provide. It's just, we have to be kind of attentive to how that might manifest. Right. And so, you know, I hearken back to, I think I've told this story before, but I just love this story. This is one of my favorite quotes. My parents were building their house a couple, 5 years ago now, and it was pouring rain. They were behind schedule on the construction. And my dad walked up to the head carpenter. It was an Amish crew. They were a very good crew. Marlon was the head carpenter's name. And, you know, my dad, I mean, anybody who knows my dad knows he has kind of a quick wit sometimes. And so he said, like, what are we going to do? We're behind schedule. Of course, he was, you know, he wasn't, I mean, he was probably half serious, but also half kidding the guy. And, you know, there was nothing they could do. They couldn't frame up the walls. They couldn't do anything. There was water pouring into the cement that had just been poured in the basement. It was just a disaster. And the carpenter just smiled and looked at Dad and me and said, it's what God wants. Mm. It's what God wants. And how often do we think of things that might happen poorly to us that, you know, God's providing? Maybe there was a farmer who was, you know, almost going to give up on his crop for the summer, and that rain helped him, right? Save his crop, save his livelihood. Do you think that, you know, my family's ability to build their house would, you know, manifest that? But there you go. I mean, anything could have happened.
Yeah.
Or, you know, any sort of imagery with water and, you know, God providing that, right? It was a bad thing, I guess, quote unquote, for the construction of the home, but God was providing that for somebody, and, you know, it ended up being okay, right? It's what God wanted for that day, and, you know, the crew regrouped. Of course, you know, parents have a beautiful house and everything, but that was what God provided for that day, for whoever needed it. Might not have been us, you know, we might not have asked for that, but that's how it went. So sometimes, you know, the prayers that we think go unanswered are just ones that God hears but has a different plan for.
Yeah. Yeah, and maybe even the lesson is in the awareness that we know sometimes it just rains. Yeah, well, that's you know, true. And ruins your plans, you know? Yeah. And it just sort of happens. You know, which is why, you know, when Jesus talks about, you know, work for the food that endures for eternal life, you know, it's always, you know, good to like keep the eternal heavenly perspective, you know, that it's not about all about what happens in this life, that we're heading for another one, you know, we'll have the fullness, and we'll kind of look back on these days and kind of smile at the things that we, you know, kind of used to fret about perhaps. And, you know, at the time, maybe they seemed like big or something like that, but yeah, even those sort of inconveniences, you know, are opportunities for us to, just have a different perspective, I think.
Yeah, and what a day that will be too when we realize that. Of course, hopefully not before, you know, our full mission here is done, right? But when we're all called to that next level, whenever that is, you know, what a day that will be to really experience the fullness and the, you know, the true resurrection in Jesus and in the Holy Trinity.
Right.
You know, it's kind of interesting, as, you know, obviously Marissa and I are getting married soon, and we've had a lot of conversations about our life and our faith and, you know, what we believe. And, you know, obviously we both are aligned. We're both Catholic, but it's interesting to hear different perspectives on, you know, what we think will transpire when we pass, right? And it's just, we had that conversation several days ago about, you know, what we think will happen. And, you know, Marissa said, the reason why we can't put a finger on it is because we're not supposed to know right now. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And she said, like, I think it'll be beyond our wildest expectations. Like, the reason why we can't comprehend it is because we physically cannot at this time.
Yeah.
We can't in this form. And when we go, you know, get called up to the majors or whatever you want to call it, right? Mm-hmm. You know, that we will, another piece of us will be unlocked. And we will experience that fullness, that, you know, the true bread of God that he gives to us, not only here on earth, but really that next level.
Yeah, that's why I like that line in on the Eucharistic prayer about, you know, moving towards that kingdom, we'll know the fullness of your glory.
Yeah.
And I just love, I even love saying it out loud, you know, every Sunday. It's just, you know, it's just great. It's home. Good. Well, should we say a little prayer?
Let's do that.
Yeah, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for providing for us, even when we don't understand, even when it's a challenge, even if it's not what we've been asking for, we know that you provide. And in a special way, help us to just be mindful of what you provide in your gift of the Eucharist, that it's you, and that you're filling us with your life, and uniting us to your cross, which also brings resurrection, and moves us to our heavenly inheritance. And so let's praise you in all things, and just know the abundance of your presence and your goodness in our lives. God, we love you. We thank you for your love for us. Sustain us this day and each day in that love, in the Holy Spirit and through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father, thank you. Great discussion today.
Thank you, Parker. Thank you, everybody. God bless you. And see you soon.